الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد In our previous class, we had finished covering شروط الوضوء The conditions for the wudu. And just to review briefly, the author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, شروطه عشرة, that the conditions of الوضوء, they are 10. And the author, he mentioned, الإسلام والعقل والتمييز, الإسلام and the sound mind, and likewise the age of distinguishment. We have seen that these three conditions here are conditions for the correctness of every action of worship, conditions for the correctness of every action of worship. And then after that, the author, he mentioned the fourth one, وَالنِّيَّةِ, and the fifth one, وَاسْتِسْحَابُ حُكْمِهَا بِأَلَّا يَنْوِيَ قَطْعَهَا حَتَّى تَتِمَّ طَهَارَتُهُ. The fourth is the intention, and the fifth condition is that the intention must continue with the person until the end of performing the ablution, meaning that he will not break his intention for performing that right until he's finished. So this was five. And then he mentioned وَانْقِطَاعُ مُوجِبٍ. And number six is that the reason for performing the ablution, meaning the hadith, it must cease, it must stop, and before beginning to perform the ablution. And then he mentions the seventh condition, وَاسْتِنْجَاءٌ أَوْ إِسْتِجْمَارٌ قَابَلَهُ. And that one must make الاستنجاء أو الاستجمار. And whenever relieving oneself, they must use the water or the tissue paper, or both of them, and we've seen that is better. Yani before the wudu. So this is the seventh condition. And the eighth condition he mentioned, وَطُهُورِيَةُ مَا, that the water, it must be pure. وَإِبَاحَتُهُ, and the ninth condition is that the water, it must be lawful, it must be permissible. And the tenth condition, the author, he says, وَإِزَالَةُ مَا يَمْنَعُ وُصُولَهُ وَإِزَالَةُ مَا يَمْنَعُ وُصُولَهُ إِلَى الْبَشَرَةِ. And the tenth condition is that one, he must remove anything that will prohibit the water from reaching the skin. So based upon what the author, he mentioned at the beginning, he says, وَشُرُوطُهُ عَشَرَةً, وَشُرُوطُهُ عَشَرَةً, the conditions are 10. But he mentioned one after that, which we had counted as number 11. وَدُخُولُ الْوَقْتِ عَلَى مَنْ حَدَثُهُ دَائِمٌ لِفَرْضِهِ, and that the time must enter for the one who has a constant hadith if he's going to perform the obligatory prayer. And in the case of performing the obligatory prayer. So what is apparent whenever we count them one by one, we find that there are 11 points here. We find that there are 11 conditions here. And as I had mentioned before, something that I heard from some of the people of knowledge in the explanation of this treatise, possibly the author, he had included tuhuriyatul ma' and ibahatuhu as one condition. But after reviewing with one of the students, one of the noble students mentioned a point about this affair, and after pondering over this issue, it became clear that what that student had mentioned is right, and that likewise the author, he accounted them as 10, and the conditions of wudu as mentioned by the author and understood in this text are 10 and not 11. And meaning that the statement that possibly the author, he counted tuhuriyatul ma' and ibahatuhu as one condition, this is not correct. Rather, the author, he mentioned them each one as a single condition, because the issue of inqita'u mujibin, this is a condition for the one who does not have an illness, the one who does not have al-istihadha, or the one who does not have sarusul bow, or the one that does not have istitlaq al-rih, the one who does not have any medical condition, yani the one who does not have a hadith that continues, yani the person who is in a normal state and he's healthy, then it's a condition that the hadith, it must cease, it must stop before performing the ablution. In the case of the one who has a continuous hadith, then this condition falls off of him, and in place of that, there's another condition. The condition of inqita'u mujibin falls off of the woman who is mustahaba, and for sahib usaydas al-baw, musahib istitlaq al-rih. We understand this condition here falls off, and in place of that condition is that he must wait to make wudu whenever the time enters for the obligatory prayer. So in both circumstances, the one who does not have any medical condition and the one who does have the medical condition, the conditions are 10. The condition, shurutuhu ashara. Shurutuhu ashara. So that is more clear, and this is correct, and Allah knows best. And may Allah reward that student who brought this to our attention, alhamdulillah, and that's a great benefit. And that's a great benefit. So in counting them, and actually they're 10. The person who is in a normal state and he's healthy, then there's 10 conditions. And in the case of somebody who has a constant hadith, then one of those conditions falls off, and in place of that one is another condition. The condition of inqita' al-mujib falls off, and in place of that is the condition of dukhul al-waqti ala man hadithuhu da'imun li-fardihi. So we count them here as 11, but one of them is a replacement in the case whenever he's not able to perform the issue of the hadith ceasing and stopping any before performing the ablution. So therefore, this is the case, and this is what is proper. So then to say the conditions are 10, not 11. The conditions are 10 in both cases, to correct that which has preceded. Barakallahu fikum. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَأَمَّا فُرُوضُهُ فَسِتَّةٌ وَأَمَّا فُرُوضُهُ فَسِتَّةٌ. As for is furud, then they are six. And he asks for the furud of al-wudu, then they are six. Then they are six. Al-furud, jam'u fard. جمعوا فرض الفرض يعني لغة هو الواجب هو الواجب. So the discussion now is about the فروض. The فروض is the plural of فرض, and فرض, it means obligatory. It means the same thing as واجب, but يعني this is in general in the text. If يعني we would say, for example, the صلاة الفجر is فرض, and we would say likewise صلاة الفجر, that is واجبة. صلاة الفجر واجبة أو صلاة الفجر فرض من فرائض الله. Nam, it's from the min fara'id al-Islam. It's an obligation. So these words are synonyms in general. But in some of the specific terminology with regards to specific actions of worship, then sometimes there's a difference, like in this case here. So here we have the furud of wudu, and we have the wajibat al wudu. So there's a slight difference in the ruling, or in the level of the obligation, in the level of the obligation. So in general, fiqhu al-wudu, to understand the jurisprudence of wudu, we see that afal wudu tanqasimu ila thalathati aqsam, that the actions of wudu in general, they are divided into three categories. They're divided into three categories. To understand, you need to picture and to visualize the issue of wudu from this aspect here, then the actions of ablution, they're divided into three categories: furud and wajibat and sunan. Furud, wajibat, and sunan. Furud, which literally means obligations, and also wajibat, which also would be translated as obligations, but there's a difference between the two. And sunan, yani mustahabat, actions that are recommended, actions that are recommended. So what is intended by furud al-wudu here? Yani arkan al-wudu. So the furud here, this word, this terminology is used. Some of the scholars, they refer to the furud as arkan, and the meaning is the same here. Because these furud here, or these arkan, they're actually a part of the wudu. They're actually a part of the wudu. And likewise, the wudu will not be correct except if one brings them. Except if one brings them. Whether he left it, if he left it on purpose or he left it on accident, he will not be excused. He will not be excused. The wudu will not be considered correct if he left off faradan min furud al-wudu. If he left off any of them on purpose, yani intentionally, or even forgetfully, yani he forgot, or he was ignorant of this affair, if he did not bring these furud here, yani meaning the arkan, the pillars, these obligations, we're going to call them pillars, so that we can distinguish in the English language between furud and wajibat, because in English we say furud obligations, and in wajibat we say, with wajibat we say obligations also, so they're different. So we're going to use the term arkan, referring to these furud, because they're synonyms here in this case. So the arkan, or the furud here of the ablution, they're the actions of wudu that must be present. A person is not excused for leaving them, not intentionally or not forgetfully or accidentally. If they're not brought, then there's no wudu. If they're not brought, then there is no wudu. As for the wajibat, then these are actions likewise that are obligatory for the one who remembers. As for the one who forgets, he's excused. That's what is intended here in this chapter. That's what is intended here in this chapter, in the chapter of wudu, furud al-wudu, or af'al al-wudu, and ibab al-wudu, the wajibat. We'll find they're one of them. There's one of them. And what it means is yajibu inda dhikri wa yaskutu inda sahwi. Wa yaskutu inda sahwi. That it's an obligation for the one who remembers to perform it, but if he forgot, then he's excused from that and there's no blame. So that's what is intended by the wajibat here. As for the sunan of wudu, then they are kullu ma siwa hadhihi al-arkan wal-wajibat. Everything besides the arkan and the obligations, besides the pillars and the obligations, then these are called sunan. And if a person brings them, then his wudu is more complete and more perfect, and he has a greater reward. And if he were to leave them, then there's no blame on him, and his ablution would be considered correct, and Allah knows best. So the author, he says, وَأَمَّا فُرُوضُهُ فَسِتَّةٌ. As for the furud, as for these obligations which we consider here to be pillars, they are six. They are six. So he says, غَسْلُ الْوَجْهِ وَمِنْهُ الْمَضْمَضَةُ وَالِسْتِنْشَاقُ. Washing the face, and from it. And from it, الْمَضْمَضَةُ وَالِسْتِنْشَاقُ. And from it. يعني what does this refer to here? غَسْلُ الْوَجْهِ وَمِنْهُ. وَمِنْهُ. Whenever we study the Arabic language, we learn about ضمائر. We learn about pronouns. And we also learn that their pronoun, الضمير, دائماً يعود على مذكور قبله. That the ضمير, the pronoun, it always refers back to something mentioned previously. Something mentioned previously. So whenever he says, رحمه الله, منه, the who here, this is الها, ها الضمير, ها الغيبة. What is it referring to? Huh? غسل الوجه ومنه المضمضة والاستنشاق. He says غسل الوجه ومنه المضمضة والاستنشاق. Washing the face and from it المضمضة والاستنشاق. What does it refer to? منه. ها؟ من الوجه. من الغسل. أحسنت. من الغسل. نعم ومنه يعني ومنه يعني ومن غسل الوجه المضمضة والاستنشاق. المضمضة والاستنشاق. So he's saying here غسل الوجه, the first فرض. غسل الوجه ومنه يعني ومن غسل الوجه المضمضة والاستنشاق. المضمضة والاستنشاق. لأن المضمضة ليس من الوجه, الفم من الوجه. فهذه هي عبارة أخرى, ومنه الفم والأنف. أما هنا ومنه يعني غسل الوجه, ومنه المضمضة والاستنشاق يعني ومن غسل الوجه. ومن غسل الوجه المضمضة والاستنشاق. لو قلنا مثلا غسل الوجه ومنه الفم والأنف. الآن ومنه يعني ومن الوجه الفم والأنف. And the outcome is the same. يعني what is intended is the مضمضة. Because the وظيفة الفم في الوضوء المضمضة, ووظيفة الأنف في الوضوء الاستنشاق. The function of the mouth while performing the wudu is what? Is the مضمضة. And the function of the nose in performing wudu is الاستنشاق. الاستنشاق. So المضمضة is putting the water in one's mouth. Putting the water in one's mouth and rinsing one's mouth and spitting it out. This is called مضمضة. المضمضة too. يعني يتمضمض. مضمضة يمضمض. مضمض. مضمضة على وزني فعلل من الرباعي المجرد, من الرباعي المجرد. نعم. والاستنشاق. So الاستنشاق is to draw the water in the nose with the breath. So المضمضة إدخال الماء في الفم وإدارته وإخراجه. وإدارته أو تحريكه وإخراجه. To put the water in the mouth and then to move it around and spit it out. This is called مضمضة. And الاستنشاق جذب الماء بالنفس إلى الأنف وإخراجه. وإخراجه, to draw the water into the nose with the breath and to bring it out, and with the breath, with air, بالهواء, is called الاستنشاق. الاستنشاق. So the author, he's saying here, غسل وجه ومنه المضمضة والاستنشاق. To wash the face, and from washing the face is putting the water in the mouth and rinsing the mouth and spit it out, and drawing the water in the nose and exhaling it, inhaling the water into the nose and exhaling it. This is all from the wajh. This is all from the wajh. So here we see the author, he's mentioning that the conditions are six. And this is the case if we count all three of these affairs as one. But we're going to actually separate them, and we're going to say that فروض الوضوء الثمانية. ثمانية, they're eight. So we're going to include these here specifically. And this is what the author is intending here, meaning that ومنه يعني ومن غسل الوجه المضمضة والاستنشاق. So based upon that the one who washed his face but he did not make the مضمضة, or he did not make the استنشاق, he did not wash his face. He did not wash his face because he says غَسْلُ الْوَجْهِ وَمِنْهُ. And from washing the face, yani including in here is rinsing the mouth and also cleaning the nose with water. Cleaning the nose with water. So therefore, the one who washed his face, but he did not put water in his mouth and rinse his mouth, nor did he draw it in his nose and cleanse his nose with the water in the proper manner. If he did not make the mawdha, what is in shaq, then it's not considered that he made ghaslu al-wajh, that he washed his face. So this is the point here. So to make it more clear, we're going to separate them. We're going to say ghaslu al-wajh is a fard. Ghaslu al-wajh is a pillar, an obligation, a pillar. And al-mawdha is a pillar. And istinshaq is a pillar. All three of them, they must be brought. So the scholars, like the author, rahimahullah, who considered the conditions to be six, and he considered the mawdha and the istinshaq to be a part of the face. And those scholars who mentioned that these pillars, they're eight, they separated each one, clarifying that each one is a condition. And the end result is the same. The end result is the same, whether we said they're six and include the mawdha and istinshaq in the face, or we separated them and made them separate, the end is the same. Meaning that these are all obligations and they must be performed. We understand this part? غَسْلُ الْوَجْهِ وَمِنْهُ الْمَضْمَضَةُ وَالِاسْتِنْشَاقُ. He says, وَحَدُّهُ طُولًا مِنْ مَنَابِتِ شَعْرِ الرَّأْسِ إِلَى الذَّقِنِ. And the limit, or the definition of the face, the limits of the face, lengthwise is from the place where the hair begins to grow on the top, yani from the forehead until the chin. This is what the author is saying here, that this is the face. What is the face? Because it's an obligation to wash the face. It's an obligation from the pillars of washing the face. The whole face, it must be washed. So the author, he's saying, is from manabit shar al ras. Manabit shar al ras. And the manabit, yani the manbat, the places where the hair begins to grow on the forehead. Some of the people of knowledge, they'll be more precise and they say manabit shar al ras al mu'tada. Yani the normal place. The place where the hair begins to grow on the forehead normally, this is where the face begins. Because somebody, for example, if he was bald, he's balding, then maybe his hair begins to grow further back on his head. So we will not say that it's an obligation to wash the part of his head that where he's balding, and consider that from the face. The place what is considered the face is where the hair normally starts to grow on the forehead. This is the beginning of the face from the top. As for the bottom, it's at the chin. The author, he says, as for the bottom, it's at the chin. So from the top to the bottom, it begins in the place, the normal place where the hair on the head begins to grow, all the way down to the chin. And then he says, rahimahullah, wa arduhu ila furu'i al-udhunayn, and lengthwise is from the tips of the ears, and from ear to ear, min al-udhuni ila al-udhun, from side to side is from ear to ear, from ear to ear. And then he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa ghaslu al-yadayni ila al-mirfaqayn, and washing the hands until the elbows, and he washing the hands all the way up, including the elbows. And then he says, rahimahullah, mashu jami'a ar-ra'si wa minhu al-udhunan, wiping the head, and from it is the ears. Wiping the head, and from the head is the ears. And so the ears are considered part of the head, so the head, it has to be wiped, and since the ears are from the head, they have to be wiped likewise. Wa ghaslu ar-rijlaini ila al-ka'bayn, and washing the feet until the ankles, meaning including the ankles. So these here are four that's mentioned so far, yani in the manner the author, he mentioned, and in reality they are six. Let's count them again. We'll count them as the author, he counted them. Washing the face. Included in washing the face is washing the mouth and the nose. That's number one, with the author, rahimahullah. Number two is washing the hands up to the elbows, including the elbows. And number three is مَسْحُ جَمِيعَ الرَّأْسِ وَمِنْهُ الْأُذُنَانِ, wiping the head, and from it is the ears. And so the ears are considered part of the head. So the head, it has to be wiped. And since the ears are from the head, they have to be wiped likewise. And then he said, Rahimahullah, غَسْلُ الرِّجْلَيْنِ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, washing the feet until the ankles, meaning including the ankles. So these are the first four that are mentioned. These are the first four that are mentioned. We see how he mentioned them. The face, included in the face, is washing the mouth and the nose. And then after that is the hands up to the elbows, including the elbows. And then after that is wiping the head, and included in the head are the ears. The ears. And then after that is washing the feet up to the ankles, and meaning including the ankles. Including the ankles. So these are four. So these are four. These four here, the face, the hands with up into the elbows, including the elbows, and wiping the head and the feet up to the ankles, including the ankles, there's no difference of opinion about this. There's no difference of opinion about this. As for the malmada, what is tinshaq, there's a difference of opinion about that. And Allah knows best, they are both obligatory. And this is why we find it better and more clear to make them single conditions, because there's no difference of opinion about the face. So if somebody were to say the face, then all of the scholars, they agree that the face, it must be washed, all of it. But the difference of opinion is rinsing the mouth and rinsing the nose an obligation, or is it something that's recommended? Is it something that's recommended? And meaning if a person, he left it, will his wudu be correct or not? So there's a difference about this. So to further emphasize what is intended here, we mentioned that these are two separate conditions. We won't say they're included in the face, because the face is already agreed upon. But as for the rinsing of the mouth, the madmada, and the washing of the nose, the istinshaq, then there's a difference of opinion here. And as the author mentioned, and the opinion that we'll follow, and we'll mention the evidence is bi'ithnillah, that rather they must be performed likewise. So therefore we'll say that they're separate conditions. So now based upon that, we have four with these other two, which are six, including the madmada wa istinshaq. Do you understand that? So we'll say, washing the face is number one. Making the madmada is number two. Making al istinshaq is number three. Washing the hands up to the elbows, including the elbows, is number four. And wiping the head is number five. And then included with the head is the ears. And then washing the feet until the ankles, including the ankles, is number six. Everybody with me? Is number six. Then he mentioned two more. What tartibu wal muwalat. What tartibu wal muwalat. The tartib is to wash all of the body parts in order, in the proper order. In the proper order, and the muwalat means to wash each body part right after the other, without delay. Without delay. And then the author, he says, what dalilu qawluhu ta'ala. And the evidence for this here is a statement of Allah the Most High. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha kumtum ila salati faqsilu wujuhakum, wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiqi, wa amsahu bi ru'usikum wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bain. So the author, he mentioned the evidence for this. What he's mentioning here is ayah, is known to the people of knowledge as ayatul wudu. This is the verse of al-wudu. This is the verse of al-wudu. There are particular verses in the book of Allah that have names. They have names like ayatul kursi, for example, or ayat al-hukuk al-ashara, the verse of the kursi, and the verse of the 10 rights, and so on and so forth. And there are a number of verses that have names with the people of knowledge, because of the importance of that verse and that which is derived from it, from rulings and benefit. And from that is this verse here, ayatul wudu. It's the verse about wudu. There's ayatul wudu, ayatul tayammum, and the likes like this. And this is because the obligations, the furud and the arkan of wudu, they're all mentioned and clarified in this verse. As the author, he says here, and the evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, O you who believe, if you stand up for the prayer, then wash your faces, and wash your hands into the elbows, and wipe your heads, and wash your feet into the ankles, So here there's four of them that are mentioned clearly. Four of these furud, or four of these arkan, are mentioned clearly. Let's look for them in this verse, how the people of knowledge have derived this. Allah, he says, فَقْصِرُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. إِذَا كُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, if you stand up for the prayer, يعني إِذَا رَدْتُمْ الْقِيَامِ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. That's what is intended. And not whenever you stand for the prayer, but whenever you want to stand for the prayer, before you do that, what should you do? فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your faces, number one. فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. And your hands until the elbows. إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ يَعْنِي مَعَ الْمَرَافِقِ. ma'a al-marafiq, and you wash your hands to the elbows, and along with the elbows. The word ila is a harf. Harfu min huruf al-ma'ani. It's from those harf jar. It has meanings. It has meanings. And according to the context, will determine the meaning. So here the meaning is ma'a. Yani along with the, wash your hands along with the elbows. Wash your hands along with the elbows. That is what is intended. Like Allah, He mentions, man ansari ilallah. Yani fi qawli Isa alayhi salam, il-hawariyina man ansari ilallah. Yani ma Allah. Ma Allah. Who is going to help me? With Allah. Yani in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the word ila here, it means ma'ah. And Allah knows best. So these are the first two. Faghsilu wujuhakum. Wash your faces. Number one. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. And your hands along with the elbows. Your hands up to the elbows and along with the elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. And wipe your heads. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. يعني وَاغْسِلُوا أَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. And wash your feet until the ankles. Until the ankles. يعني along with the ankles. So here are four of them. Here are four of them. The author, he's saying, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to the first one, فَاغْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ. This is the order to wash the face. So here's the order. So these are all obligations here. These are all furu. These are all arkan, because Allah, He ordered for them. If you want to stand for the prayer, this is what you must wash. So there's no difference about these affairs here. But the author, he's saying, from washing the face is the malmada wa istinshaq. Is the malmada wa istinshaq. We understand that? That's what the author is saying here. Whenever Allah, He says, فَاغْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your faces. The author is saying, from washing the face, وَمِنْهُ يعني مِنْ غَسْلِ الْوَجْهِ الْمَضْمَضَةُ وَالِسْتِنْشَاقِ. الْمَضْمَضَةُ وَالِسْتِنْشَاقِ. We understand this is how he understood this verse. So clearly washing the face is an obligation and it's mentioned directly. It could be understood from that from washing the face is the مَضْمَضَةُ وَالِسْتِنْشَاقِ. Because the mouth is on the face and the nose is on the face, and the function of the mouth in wudu is to make madmada. And the function of the nose in al-wudu is to make al-istinshaq. So therefore they're included there. Because al-famu wa anfu min al-wajh. Min al-wajh. So from this aspect, some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the madmada, what is istinshaq, both of them are obligations, pillars. They must be performed. The one who did not perform them, he did not wash his face. Therefore he does not have wudu. So for this reason, you want to separate them. And some of the people of knowledge, they'll separate them likewise to clarify that these are all obligations or pillars of the wudu. Pillars of the wudu. We understand this. So therefore, we have washing the face, number one. We have making the madbada, number two. We have making it istinshaq, number three. We have washing the hands up to the elbows along with the elbows, number four. We have wiping the head, number five. We have washing the feet up to the ankles along with the ankles, number six. And then after that, we have two more. At-tartib wa al-muwalat. At-tartib wa al-muwalat. So whenever Allah, He says, فَقْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ, that's clear. We understood that part. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ الْمَرَافِقِ. We understood that part likewise. The obligation of washing the hands and the elbows, up to the elbows, along with the elbows. Because it's mentioned in the verse. The author, he's mentioning the evidence and it's clear. We all understand the evidence and the point of evidence. And وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. And wipe your heads. And wipe your heads. وَأَرُجُولَكُمْ. And wash your feet. إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. يعني مع الكعبين. And wash your feet up to the ankles, يعني along with the ankles. So those four are mentioned there clearly. As for the مَبَضَى وَالِسْتِنْشَاقِ, they could be understood from this verse, as we have mentioned. As we have mentioned. And likewise, التَّرْتِيبِ as well is also clarified in the verse. It's clarified in the verse. Because Allah, He mentioned in the verse these body parts in order. In order. So the tartib of the wudu is mentioned in order in the verse. Faghsilu, the first thing you do, wash your face. And then you wash your hands to the elbows. And then you wipe your head. And then you wash your feet to the ankles. So in the same order is the order of the wudu. So this is derived from here. We'll touch on each one of these points, yani individually. We want to understand just in general what the author is mentioning. So the author, he said, how many are they?
Six.
Six. We're saying they are?
Three.
Eight. How do we say that? The author, he included al-madmada wa al-istinshaq from the face. We're singling them out, adding them to the count. So the author, he didn't count them, he included them from the face. We're going to count them. So now the numbers change, but the ruling is the same. And the outcome is the same. Do we understand that part? Mm-hmm. The understanding is the same. Whether we say that they're from the face, or where they say they're separate from the face, the ruling is the same. The one who left them, he does not have the correct wudu. The one who did not make the madwada and or the istinshaq, he does not have his wudu, is not correct. That's the point we want to make. Everybody with me about that? Okay. Alhamdulillah. So this is the verse of al-wudu, and we see that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has ordered to make the wudu, and this is a very important verse with regards to this issue. This is the foundation and the fundamental principle with regards to this issue, that which is returned to and relied upon in understanding how to fulfill the obligation of performing the wudu properly according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, it has been narrated from Rifa' ibn Rafi' radiyallahu anhu in a well-known hadith, which is known as hadith al-musi' salatahu, the hadith of the one who prayed bad, and the one who came, then he went and prayed, and then he came back and he gave salam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, irji' fi salli fa innaka lam tusalli, go back and pray again, indeed you did not pray. And so he went and prayed in the same manner, then he came back and gave salam again, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same statement three times until the man, he said, and I swear by the one who sent you with the truth, I cannot do better than that. فَعَلِّمْنِي. So therefore, teach me. So this wording, this hadith has been narrated by Rifa' ibn Rafi' radiyallahu anhu, and likewise by Abi Hurayrah radiyallahu anhu. It's known as hadith al-musi' salatahu. Al-musi' salatahu. So this narration is in Bukhari and Muslim and the books of the Sunnah. And al-Ummahat al-Sittah. But it has a number of different wordings. And the wording that we have here is important. It's in Tirmidhi. And other than that, likewise, that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَتَوَضَّعْ كَمَا أَمَرَكَ اللَّهِ فَتَوَضَّعْ كَمَا أَمَرَكَ اللَّهِ. So this is likewise a fundamental principle with regards to how to perform the wudu. إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, if you stand up for the prayer, فَتَوَضَّعْ كَمَا أَمَرَكَ اللَّهِ, then you should make the wudu in the manner that Allah ordered you. So what is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referring to now? Ayat al-wudu. Yani kama amarak Allah, yani fi ayat al-wudu. That whenever you stand up for the prayer, then you must make the wudu in the manner that Allah ordered you. Meaning in the manner that Allah ordered you in this verse that we're studying now. So this is the fundamental understanding. This is the fundamental principle. This is the asl. Al-asl min usul al-wudu. This verse here. And in establishing the legislation of the wudu and how it should be performed. So now we're going to discuss these affairs in more detail. Here in this verse, we see that Allah, he mentioned two important words. Faghsilu wa amsahu. Faghsilu wa amsahu. So we have the order for al-ghasl, and we have the order for al-masah. We have the order for al-ghasl bi-fath al-jim, not al-ghusl. There's not an order for ghusl here. Al-ghusl is different. Al-ghusl is not. We have the order for what? Al-ghasl. Al-ghasl. The people of Nahr, as they mentioned with regards to these terms, with regards to the words in the Arabic language, az-ziyada fil mabani ziyadatun fi al-ma'ani. Az-ziyada fil mabani ziyadatun fi al-ma'ani. Ziyada fil mabna ziyadatun fi any ma'na fil ma'na. So if the harakat changes, or if the letters change, an addition or subtraction in the like this, the meaning changes. The meaning changes. So al-ghusl and al-ghasl, there's two different meanings, two completely different understandings. Al-ghusl is the ism, and al-ghasl is the masdar. Ghasla yaksilu ghaslan. Ghaslan, a person, he wants to wash his hands, yaksilu yadayhi ghaslan. He wants to wash his car, ghasaltu as-sayarata ghaslan. He will wash his car, this is ghasl, not ghusl. The sayara doesn't make ghusl. You make the ghasl for the sayara, you wash the car. As for the ghusl, this is to wash the whole body. Washing the body in the legislative manner to make the ghusl, to put water on the entire body, this is called ghusl, al-iqtisal. A person, whenever he bathes himself and he showers and he washes his entire body, this is called ghusl. So there's a difference between whenever we say ghusl with a dhamma and ghasl with a fatha. So Allah here is ordering for al-ghasl. He's ordering for things, body parts to be washed. And likewise for al-masih. Al-masih. He's ordering likewise for body parts to be wiped. So if one were to make the mess, ghasl means washing, and mess means wiping. If one were to make mess on the body parts of al-ghasl, it would not be accepted. If a person, he made ghasl on the body parts of al-mess, it would not be accepted. There are body parts that there must be washed, and there are body parts that must be wiped. You understand this? So these two words here, Allah has an order for them. فَغْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ. And then the other, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُسِكُمْ. So we have فَغْسِلُوا وَمْسَحُوا. Wash and wipe. So their body parts that must be washed and their body parts that must be wiped. So what's the difference between الْغَسْلَ and الْمَسْحِ? What's the difference between washing and wiping? This is what we want to understand. The people of knowledge, they mention الْغَسْلُ إِجْرَاء. إِجْرَاء الْمَاءِ عَلَى الْعُضْوِي. أو تَسْيِيل الْمَاءِ عَلَى الْعُضْوِي. That a person, he will put water on his body part until it runs. The water is running off of his body part. That's called washing. When does a person wash his hands? What is washing one's hands? He'll put water on his hands until water is running off of his hands. This is considered washing it. This is considered ghasl. We understand that? إِجْرَاءُ الْمَاءِ يعني أن يجري الماء أو يسيل الماء على العضو على العضو. That he will put the water on his hand until it's running on his hand. If he's washing his hand, if he's washing his face likewise, until the water is running on his face. This is considered washing. As for المسح, it is إمرار. إمرار الماء على العضو. إمرار to يعني أن يمر الماء. That the water will go by, will be wiped on the body part. So there's a difference between the two. Whenever washing, the whole body part will be soaked until the water is running on the body part. And whenever he's wiping, he's simply just going to run the water across the body part. He's simply going to run and wipe the water across the body part. You understand that? So these are two important points to understand with regards to this. So the first obligation here is the face. فَغْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your faces. So the author, he mentioned the definition of the face. And what is the limits of the face? What did he say? From the normal place where the hair of the head begins all the way to the chin lengthwise, and from ear to ear, from the width, long ways, like this, from top to bottom is from where the hair of the head normally starts until the chin, and from side to side is from the ear to the ear. All of this is considered the face, and the people of knowledge, they have an agreement that it's an obligation to wash the entire face, to wash the yani and yujri al-ma ala jami' al-wajh. That the water will run on the entire face. So if a person, he washed part of his face, it would not be correct. He has to wash the entire face. There's no difference of opinion about that. As for what the author, he mentioned in general, this is clear, especially with regards to a woman or with regards to a male that does not have a beard. A male that does not have a beard. Any of the definition of the face is very clear. It's very clear from where the hair begins, where the hair of the head begins on top all the way to his chin and from his ear to ear, from side to side. This is very clear with regards to the face of a woman or with regards to the face of a man who does not have a beard. As for with regards to a man, he has a beard, then there is more included in the face. There's more included in the face, meaning there's a greater obligation that must be washed along with that which is mentioned here from the manabit al-sha'r ila al-dhaqn wa al-udhun ila al-udhun. We understand this. So the al-wajh, ma huwa al-wajh? Yani lughatan ma tahsuru bihi al-muwajaha. الوجه ما تحصر به المواجهة. The face is that which facing somebody occurs with. That's why it's called the face, because you face the people with it. So from the face is that which faces in front of a person from his beard. So a person who has a beard, the face of his beard, that which is facing from his beard, that likewise is all included in his face. That likewise is all included in his face. So the one who has, for example, a long beard, the front of that beard, all of that is included from his face. It must be washed along with the face. It must be washed along with the face. We understand this part. A person, he has a beard coming, and if we said from where? From where the hair of the head normally starts all the way to the chin. Okay, what if somebody has a beard down below his chin? Maybe somebody's beard reaches 6, 7, 8, 9 inches below his chin, for example. All of that is part of his face in the wudu. All of that, it must be washed. All of that, the front of that, it must be washed. He must put the water on his skin, and likewise that which is in coming in front from his beard. All of that, water must reach there and run from there. We understand this. Likewise, if he has the hair of the beard on the side of his face as well, that must be washed. You understand that? And he from the side on the cheeks. That which is on the face, not the skin, any of the beard, that which comes on the face, this must be washed. The water must reach there and run there likewise. This is all included. So with regards to the beard, Barakallahu fikum, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that here from this aspect of any washing the face, alihya nu'ani, that the beard is two types, alihyatu al-kathifa wal-lihyatu al-khafifa. Al-kathifa, yani the one that is thick, and the khafifa, the one that is light, the one that is light. So how can we determine between the two? What is the dividing line determining between the al-lihya al-kathifa and the al-lihya al-khafifa, determining between the thick beard and the thin beard? The people of knowledge, they say al-lihyatu al-khafifa tura min wara'iha al-bashara, tura min wara'iha al-bashara. The skin can be seen on the light beard. The skin can be seen behind the hair. This beard is considered light. So somebody, if he has a beard and behind his beard you can see the skin, then this is considered lihyatun khafifa, khafifa, a light beard, a light beard. So the rulings are different with regards to the light beard and the thick beard. The rulings are different with regards to the light beard and the thick beard. We understand the light beard. The light beard is a person, he has hair on his face, he has a beard, but you can see the skin behind his hair, behind his beard. You can see the skin, you can see the skin. So it's considered light, khafifa. As for the one who has a thick beard, you can't see the skin behind his beard. You can't see the skin behind his beard. So therefore this is considered lihyatan kathifa. It's a thick beard. It's a thick beard. So the one who has the thick beard, he just washes the outside of the beard, that which is apparent from the outside, then he that which is on his face. We understand that? The one who has a thick beard. As for the one who has a thin beard, then the water must reach the skin. It would not suffice for him to put the water on the hair of his face. Rather, the one who has a light beard, the water must go to the skin. As for the one who has a thick beard, the water does not have to go to the skin. Rather, he will just wash that which is on the outside of his beard, which is coming from the front of his face. You understand this? Everybody with me? Between the two. So the person who has the beard, that which is in the front of his face, and on the front of his beard, this is all from his face. This is all from his face. It has to be washed. It has to be washed. As for that which is inside the beard, putting the water inside of the beard, then this is a sunnah. Any takhleel al-lihya is not an obligation. Somebody who has a thick beard. Somebody who has a thick beard, what is the obligation? He'll wash his face and wash the outside of his beard. From the sunnah along with that, it's not an obligation, but it's from the good way, is that he will make takhleel al-lihya. It came from the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يخلل لحيته. He used to make takhleel al-lihya. And the people of knowledge, a difference with regard to the description of that. And some of them, they mentioned that he would take a handful and he'll put it underneath his beard and then put his other hand on top of the beard and put the water inside in this manner like this. He'll take a handful of water and put it underneath his beard, underneath his chin. Underneath his beard, underneath his chin, and then he will put his hand on top of the beard and put the water in this manner. Others, they mentioned that rather what takhleel al-lihya means is to put the water in one's hand and to put it inside of his beard with his fingers. Put it inside of his beard with his fingers. So what is intended from takhleel al-lihya, idkhalul ma'i fil lihya, to put the water inside of the lihya, to put the water inside of the beard. Inside of the beard, this is a sunnah and not an obligation. And not an obligation, but it's something that is good for the one who has a thick beard. The one who has a thick beard. The obligation is to wash his face, his skin, and that which is apparent on the front of his face all the way down to the end of his lihya, all to the end of his beard, the front of that, this must be washed. As for the inside of that and under that, then to put water in there, and this manner is a sunnah and recommended and from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is with regards to the face. Everybody clear on this point? So the woman's face is clear, and the man's face who does not have a beard is clear, and the man's face who has a light beard is clear, and the man's face who has a thick beard is clear. We understand the rulings, the obligation, and likewise that which is recommended from that. After this, like the author he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَمِنْهُ يعني وَمِنْ غَسْلِ الْوَجْهِ الْمَضْمَضَةُ وَالِسْتِنْشَاقُ. So we're going to separate them, we're going to mention each of them individually, and also a pillar of wudu is to make al-madmada, is to make al-madmada, and likewise to make al-istinshaq. So the people of knowledge, they have no difference of opinion, anna al-madmada wa al-istinshaq matlubani, that they're both something that is required, but they differ about the level of that requirement. So some of the people of knowledge mentioned their sunnah. if a person, he left it, his wudu would be correct. And others, they mention it's an obligation. If he were to leave it, his wudu would not be correct. And what is strongest and the scale of evidence is that they are an obligation and the wudu would not be correct except with the madmadah, what is istinshaq. So that's why we're mentioning them as individual pillars. And we understood from that which has preceded that Allah, He ordered to wash the face. And from the face is the mouth and the nose. And the function of the mouth and the nose is the madmadah, what is istinshaq. From this aspect, it's understood that they're an obligation. But there are evidences likewise that are even more clear than this. And it has been collected by Ashab al-Sunan. And we have the wording of Abu Dawood rahimahullah from the hadith of Laqit ibn Sabira radiyallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhbirni an al-wudu. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me of the ablution. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, asbigh al-wudu wa khallil bayna al-asabi' wa barik fil istinshaqi illa an takuna sa'ima. And in some wordings, likewise, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتَ فَمَضْمِضْ. So this, the point of evidence here is this narration that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him, and he said, أَسْبِغْ الْوُضُوء. And he put the water on all of the body parts of the wudu properly. And make the takhlil between the asabi. And he put the fingers in between the fingers. Takhlil al-asabi, meaning from the hands. From the hands is like this, tashbik al-asabi. You have the hand that's wet, you take the left hand and put it in the right hand. Like this. This is called takhlil al-asabi for the hands. As for on the toes, it will come whenever we come a little bit later. You use the pinky. Use the pinky. But the point is now that the author, he says, وَبَالِكْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. And to perform the istinshaq very well, except whenever you're fasting. And you mean to draw the water up into the nasal cavity high, except whenever you're fasting. And not to make it that high. To do it, but not to make it that high. So here is the order for mubalagha fi istinshaq. So this is an indication that it's an obligation. And likewise, in one wording of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتَ فَمَضْمِضْ. If you make wudu, فَمَضْمِضْ. There's an order here. Then make the madmadah. If you make wudu, and he's saying, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me of the wudu. So that we understand the point of that. Inform me of the wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, make the istinshaq good. Draw the water up into your nose high, except whenever you're fasting. Meaning, except when you're fasting, don't draw it up higher. Don't draw it up high. So to draw the water in the nose is called istinshaq. Al-mubalagha fil istinshaq is to draw the water high into the nasal cavity, into the top, and to bring it out. And as for the madmadah, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you make wudu, then make the madmadah. So here the Messenger, he's ordering for this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is further emphasizing that it's an obligation. Because the original understanding, if there's an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that the order is an obligation. Unless there are other texts clarifying that it's recommended. And there's no other text clarifying that it's recommended. Rather, there are other texts emphasizing the obligation. Emphasizing the obligation. From that is what is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. From the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ تَوَضَّعَ فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ. مَنْ تَوَضَّعَ فَلْيَسْتَنْثِرْ. Whoever makes wudu, then he must make al-istinthar. Al-istinthar is bringing the water out of the nose. So the people of knowledge, they say, al-istinthar far'u al-istinshaq. The istinthar, bringing the water out of the nose, is coming from bringing it into the nose. So if a person is ordered to make istinthar, he cannot do that except by making al-istinshaq. He can't push the water out of his nose except for first if he drew it into his nose. So sometimes we'll find the order for making istinthar. And what is understood from that is that it's an order to make al-istinshaq. Al-istinshaq, because a person is not able to push the water out of his nose except first drawing it into his nose. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here, the meaning is, if you make wudu, then make istinshaq. And even likewise, more clear than this also, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِذَا تَوَضَّأَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجْعَلْ فِي أَنْفِهِ مَاءً ثُمَّ لِيَنْتَثِرْ. If one of you makes wudu, then he must put water in his nose and then blow it out. and then blow it out. So from here and these evidences we see, and likewise that the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every time has been mentioned that he made wudu, this is something that he did continuously and he never left. So therefore these are both pillars also of washing the face, of the wudu. So we see with regards to the face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat al-wudu, in the verse of al-wudu, he said, فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your faces. So therefore washing the face is an obligation. It's a pillar from the pillars of the ablution. And likewise we have seen as well that from the face, no doubt about that, from the face is the nose and the mouth. And we have seen that with regards to the nose and the mouth, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he ordered that whenever a person, he makes the ablution, he must rinse out his mouth. And likewise he ordered sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever a person, he makes his wudu, he must rinse out his nose. So the function of the mouth and the wudu is to rinse, is to make the malmada. And the function of the nose and the wudu is to make the istinshaq or istinthar, and to draw the water into the nose, to draw the water into the nose and to exhale it, to inhale the water into the nose and to exhale it. And to exhale it. So with these evidences here, we see that the malmada, rinsing the mouth, and the istinshaq, and cleaning the nose, these are from the pillars of the wudu. The wudu will not be correct without it. From these evidences here, and likewise from the fact of another issue, the people of Allah, as they mentioned, muwawabat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhima fi wudu'ihi. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a muwawaba. And muwawaba meaning is something that he did consistently and always, consecutively, and never left. And never left. So it's not known from the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he ever made wudu and did not make a malmada wa istinshaq. So the fact that those who narrated the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us, they have all agreed in their narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in washing the face, he made the malmada wa istinshaq. Along with these other narrations, we see that it's an obligation and not something that's recommended. We see that it's an obligation and not something recommended. What do we understand from that? We see that it's an obligation, meaning a pillar, and it's not something recommended. And what do we benefit from that in these studies here? That the wudu will not be correct except by bringing them. This is the point that we want to make. That a person, if he washed his face and did not rinse out his mouth, or he did not rinse his nose, or he did one of them and not the other, then it will not be correct. The wudu will not be correct. He will not be considered having washed his face. He will not be considered having washed his face properly in the manner legislated. After this, likewise, we see فَقْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ. The wow here is called wow al-alf, so the meaning is وَقْسِلُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, and wash your hands. And wash your hands. So the hands, they must be washed. إِلَى الْمَرَافِقْ. إِلَى الْمَرَافِقْ. That they must be washed to the elbows. And we have seen what that means, including the elbows. So from the tip of the fingers, and the hand entirely, all the way up to the arm, the forearm, and to the elbows, including the elbows, they must be washed. They must be washed. And they must have the ghusl. So that means the water must run on this body part. You couldn't just simply wipe this body part, for it has to be washed entirely. The water has to run. The water has to run. And we have seen in the previous narration of Al-Qit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him وَخَلِلْ بَيْنِ الْأَصَابِ, and to make the takhlil of the asabi. So this is a sunnah likewise. When a person, he washes his hands and his elbows, likewise he will go in between his fingers. He'll go in between his fingers. And the people of Nara, they mention here what is intended being takhlil asabi al-yadain bi-tashbik. At-tashbik is whenever a person, he will put his hands together like this. This is called tashbik, putting his fingers inside of his fingers. So he'll put his fingers like this and washing inside of his hands. One hand with his fingers open inside the other hand, getting in between the fingers. This part here is recommended, and it's not an obligation. After this, the ayah continues. فَغْسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Then after that, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. So the order to wash two body parts proceeded, and now there's the order to wipe a body part. Huh? وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe your heads. So also from the furud of the wudu is مَسْحُ الرَّأْسِ. And this is what the author is mentioning. وَمِنْهُ الْأُذُنَانِ. وَمِنْهُ الْأُذُنَانِ. And from the head is the ears. The ears are a part of the head. The ears are a part of the head. So whenever wiping the head, one will likewise wipe the ears. And what must be wiped is the entire head, not part of the head. A person, he couldn't just wipe up part of his head. Rather, he has to wipe all of his head. The entire head, it must be white. And this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla likewise, that the head is wiped and it's not washed. Because if a person, he was ordered and obligated to wash his head every time he makes wudu, it could become very difficult, especially for those who have hair on their head and the likes like this, because the water will remain with them for some time, and the likes like this. And this could be very difficult for a person, having to wash his hair 5 times a day in this manner, especially in the cold season, so on and so forth. It could become a difficulty for him or for her, for a believer. It could become difficult. So from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the ease and the facilitation in the legislation, is that it's not an obligation to wash the head. Rather, it's not correct if he washed the head in making wudu. Rather, what he must do is wipe the head. He'll wipe the head. So it has been narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim radiallahu anhu, al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, that a man asked him how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu. So he showed him, and in the description that he showed him, it's mentioned, ثُمَّ مَسِحَ رَأْسَهُ بِيَدَيْهِ فَأَكْبَرَ بِهِمَا وَأَدْبَرَ بَدَأَ بِمُقَدَّمِ رَأْسِهِ حَتَّى ذَهَبَ بِهِمَا إِلَى قَفَاهُ ثُمَّ رَدَّهُمَا إِلَى الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي بَدَأَ مِنْهُ. So this is the description of how to wipe the head. And it's mentioned that whenever he was asked, radiallahu anhu, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make the wudu, whenever he came to the part about wiping his head, he said he wiped his head with his two hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, putting his hands in the front of his head and taking them to the back of his head, to his neck, and then bringing them back into the place where he began. So a person, when he wipes his head, he's going to wipe from the front to the back. This is all considered one time. It's been narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu likewise, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masaha ra'sahu wahidan, that he wiped the head one time. So the head is not wiped except one time. So putting the hands in the front of the forehead to the back of the neck and bringing them back, this is considered one time. So a person, he'll not just wipe it to the back, he'll wipe it to the back and then to the front. This is all considered one time. And Allah knows best the wisdom in that, is because the hands will be wet, and he'll wipe the head in the front, and it'll catch the front of the hair, and then when he goes back, he'll catch the back of the hair, the other side of the head. In this manner, all of the head will be wiped. And we continue in the class to come, inshaAllah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.